Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
I agree.
Their second best player is Nervis Solarte. I mean, come on.
Solarte.
They are...
Never nervous. Yang Hervis. City is dead. The stadium is dead. And then an hour later, I'm horned. Yankee Magic. I'm running through walls.
As we always say, you know, the board is the board.
It's the truth.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big basketball show. What chaos, what drama, what excitement in the league right now as we speak at this very moment. The Orlando Magic, of all the teams, are winning. After falling behind by double digits against the Cleveland Cavaliers, it has been a terrible, terrible month for that team, the Cavs, and it has been an absolute disaster right now. I can't get over how bad things are getting for this team. We'll talk more about the Cavs in a moment, but first some setup for you guys, and. We first want to commemorate the Philadelphia Eagles for pulling the small upset against the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 52. They are winners 41-33 in what has been a very exciting game. Certainly not a lot to be desired on the defensive end, but a tremendous game to watch from an entertainment perspective, and certainly a lot to talk about with that, but we'll put that aside. Certainly it's been a great NFL year, but we segue now back to the world of basketball, and in the NBA, quite a lot to talk about. I see on my board that I'm having some connection issues with Skype. We're going to see if Chris is with us as we start up, but hopefully he is. Chris, if you're listening now, send me a message on the Facebook Messenger just to make sure that you can hear me. But in the meanwhile, let's set this up. So there's a lot going on in the NBA. We already mentioned the trade last week. But lots to report. Let's not waste any time. Let's jump it. The NBA report for February 6th. Dirk Nowitzki logged his 50,000th minute on Monday night against the Clippers, a game in which they lost after leading by, I think, like double digits for good portions of the game. They went on a really big skid. They gave up an 11-0 run to the Clippers as they went it on to blow the game at Staples Center. Also in the news, speaking of 50,000, the Lakers fined $50,000 for tampering infractions. The tampering consists of Magic Johnson's public comments praising Giannis Antetokounmpo earlier in the year. Also in the news, Nikola Mirotic trade goes through, so he will be traded from the Bulls to the Pelicans in exchange for Ashik, Demir Nelson, and Tony Allen. So, look at that. Tyler Zeller was traded from the Nets to the Bucks for Rashad Vaughn in a second-round pick. The Pacers will lose Darren Collison for 2 to 3 weeks with a left knee injury. And the NBA dunk contest field is announced. The four participants in the dunk contest are Victor Oladipo, Larry Nance Jr., Dennis Smith Jr., and Donovan Mitchell from the Utah Jazz, who is filling in for Aaron Gordon, who was selected originally but had some knee issues, so he will have to hold out. In the three-point contest, you have Eric Gordon, Klay Thompson, Bradley Beal, Paul George, Kyle Lowry, Devin Booker, Wayne Ellington, and Tobias Harris, who just got traded from Detroit over to the Clippers. And the Mavs' Seth Curry will have season-ending surgery on his left tibia. Ron Butler retires from the NBA after 14 years with 9 teams. And this just in, Kristaps Porzingis in his game today with the Knicks carried off the court with a leg injury. Huge, devastating news as we started up here on the NBA report. So let's bring in our co-host tonight, who is witnessing the same crazy night in basketball. Just a lot to talk about tonight. So, Chris, welcome to the show. How's it going tonight?
Hey, Dave. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good. Okay, good. You're coming in. I'm glad you can hear me and everything. So that's good to hear. It's good to know. I am stunned at these scores. I am looking at, first of all, I mean, look, I know. We know that the Cavs have been having some problems this year. We saw that on Saturday. They just got embarrassed by the Rockets. I mean, they're not. Obviously, there's no shame in losing to the Rockets, but losing 120-88 is horrendous. But this is an all-timer. I mean, they're down by 16 points after being up by roughly 15 earlier in the game. I mean, this is. I don't even know what to say. Like that. How do you blow a game like that to the Magic? It's not just that they're losing to them. It's not just that that they've been losing games, but you're up 15 and you're still, and then you're down by like, looks like they're down by 18 now. No, that's 10. I'm sorry, that's a 10 point lead. But this is just, you just can't imagine it. So, I guess we can start there. I mean, this team has certainly lost its direction in many ways. So, comment on the Cavs for the moment. I mean, how far can this sink?
Yeah, I actually haven't been too tied into this game just because I was watching the Celtics get their asses handed to them by the Raptors. But I just flipped over. Yeah, they're down by 16 right now, Dave. And when I was looking at this game and you asked me about it earlier today, I thought for sure the Cavs would win because one, the Magic aren't very good, and two, the Magic were on a back to back. I mean, they played last night. And I thought that would be a factor. I mean, granted, it is in Orlando, but man, I just did not predict this. And when Cavs came out, jumped ahead early, and I think they had a 15-point lead at one time. I thought, okay, well, this is Cleveland's bouncing back into shape. You know, maybe all the criticism flying around the team, the rumors about LeBron wanted to get out of there, and there's been so much swirling around the team. Maybe they kind of congealed, and they came together as a group. And then this, I mean, they just look miserable. There's about 4 minutes left, Dave, and they're down by 15 right now.
I mean, I can't even speculate as to whether they can come back on this. I mean, this just seems like they just have really lost their will to play. Look, I mentioned in messages I thought that Orlando had a chance to win this game because of just how miserable the Cavs are, but I didn't think they'd come back after falling behind 15 points. This is just insane.
Yeah. Oh, man, Isaiah just got stripped. The guy who's had a big game for Orlando is Jonathan Simmons. He's got 29 points right now. Mm-hmm. Made a few big shots here. Magic with the ball, and they're holding. It's what a story. I mean, there's so much. I mean, I think at the beginning of the season, when we talked about right before the season kicked off, the Cavs were one of my more interesting stories just because of the LeBron rumors and how that could really make this team go sideways quick. And now we're seeing it, we're seeing it in real time. There's Stephen A. Smith, the rumor that Dan Gilbert wants to get rid of LeBron. And I mean, of course, you can't just do that because LeBron has a no trade clause and he can mix any deal he wants and he doesn't have to do anything. And then he can leave as a free agent. So I don't know. It's tremendously entertaining. And when things go bad in the NBA, they go really bad. And it's, in my opinion, it's unlike any other sport where, I don't know. I mean, I think about baseball. Something goes bad. It becomes very personal for some reason in the NBA. And I can see this going the same way. I mean, Dave, we could do the whole show on the Cavs right now. I mean, we could talk about, the decision to trade Kyrie. We could talk about the rumors about LeBron leaving. All the way through the season, we could spend the next hour and a half on them. I'm convinced. We could talk about the Cavs for 90 minutes right now.
We may wind up talking at least 30 because it really has been crazy. I mean, this is a team that was expected to go to the finals. And I didn't know if – I didn't really have confidence in that, but I thought that, that obviously we're going to be the front runner most of the year. But with how badly things have gone and with how old this team is and with what little they have to be able to utilize to improve their team – This is just this situation. I mean, they're done. I mean, you pointed out to me that the Cavs have a negative 0.5 Point differential. That is not for these, like, 27 games that they've been losing games. This is for the entire season. And I realize that the 148 game and the 120-88 game are going to do that to you, but this is pathetic. Like, this is just, this is beyond just, you know, we're in a bad funk, we're this and that. This is a team that, this is a team that really doesn't have direction. I mentioned that already, but it almost seems clear by the day that this is going to end. And I think a lot of networks have pondered the crossroads of the Cavaliers trading for somebody to turn this around, trade the pick so that they can make one last desperation play. But there's nobody you could get at the trade deadline that's available, that can be reasonably traded for what they have to make them a championship contender. Nobody. The best that people have come up with is DeAndre Jordan, and I'll give it to you here. There is a rumor that people were offering cash in the 2018 first-round pick to the Clippers for DeAndre Jordan. That's a terrible trade for the Cavs for a couple of reasons. Not only is that they're giving up way too much for a guy that's, you know, questionable all-star talent at this point, and he's on the decline of his career. But the second part is he plays terrible against the Warriors anyway. I mean, the whole point of getting a defensive guy like that is to try to lock down the Warriors in the NBA Finals. Well, he's not going to do that. He plays terrible. The Clippers play their worst basketball against that team. So it's kind of difficult to imagine that anything would change just because he goes on a team with LeBron. So that's probably not going to work out, in my opinion. Maybe they did say that Love could still be traded because he's got another year on top of this year. That may work out. But there are indicators that the Cavs may just stay quiet. And if they do, Chris, I imagine you would think that the Cavs are kind of willing to move on from LeBron. And it sounds like Gilbert's, like you said, he's been quoted directly as saying that he wants to move on from LeBron. And other news today, which you would never have heard. This would never have been reported if the Cavs were playing so badly. But you got a report that LeBron actually literally said he will not waive his no-trade clause for the season. Why you normally would need to even report that is nuts, right? Like, why would this even matter? But it matters now because they've been so rough, like, that people have started rumors about, hey, maybe they will trade him in the midseason, which doesn't seem realistic anyway, but that just at least takes that out of the picture. So, we mentioned it last week. What are their options at this point? Like, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if it's even worth trying to trade for anybody at this juncture, you know? So, like, do you think they'll even bother, or will they just kind of just ride it out? They also, oh yeah, this is the other thing. I'm sorry, I was meandering with this, but they also publicly stated that Tyronn Lue's going to be their guy. They're not thinking of firing the coach, which I think if he did lose a couple games in that fashion, you know, in blowout fashion, with a team that's presumably good enough to win the, you know, Eastern Conference, maybe you would fire the coach. But I think even the Cavs have figured out that this is beyond just firing a coach. It's not going to turn this around at all. So I figured at least that was sensible, but it's a very, very desperate situation. So let's see what you have. I mean, where do they go? Are they going to do the trade at all? Are they going to bother? Are they just going to sell the farm? I don't know what they're going to do at this point. What do you think?
So, yeah. So, you covered a lot of ground there. So, yeah, I mean, there is no way they're going to make a trade now. I mean, no way. I mean, they're going to ride this team, and they're going to keep the Brooklyn pick, and they're going to say goodbye to LeBron at the end of the season, and they're going to begin the slow rebuild process, and the Brooklyn pick is going to be the start of that. But this is the oldest team in the league right now. And, you know, they've hitched their wagon to LeBron. The relationship between LeBron and Dan Gilbert was never good. And it apparently it's awful now. And it's almost amazing that he's even on this team, if you think about it. Yeah, I think there's no way that they're gonna make a move. I mean, the rumor early on was that, and I think you kind of alluded to this, was the Tristan Thompson for DeAndre Jordan trade. And I'm thinking, okay, the Clippers just got rid of this enormous salary, and DeAndre Jordan, no matter what you think about him, that's a final now, 116-98, Magic won. No matter what you think of him, is an expiring contract, and so that has some value for the Clippers. I mean, they can, you know, they can do, you know, they can clear out all that cap space. Why would they trade that for Tristan Thompson, who makes $16.4 million this year, and his contract escalates every year, $17.4 next year, and then $18.5 the following year, for a guy who's honestly really played poorly? And that's not going to happen. The Clippers are going in a totally different direction. So I do not see a fit there for DJ going to the Cavs. The rumor about George Hill coming to the Cavs. I don't know why the Cavs would make that deal. Just because they'd be locked into Hill's huge contract. I don't think they'd do anything, Dave. I mean, just based on what we heard today and all the stuff that's flying around, I don't see them making a single move. The interesting thing about this is, like, so they had this horrendous month of January. I think they went 6-9 for the month. And, you know, you turn the page, it's February, first game of the season, Rockets on national TV, and they get absolutely blown out. I mean, this is bad. And I'll tell you, man, the thing about the vote of confidence for Tyronn Lue is really strange to me. That is, you know, that's anytime I hear that, I kind of squint and think, well, you know, that might not mean what they're saying, you know, because how many times have we heard the vote of confidence and the guy's fired the following week?
Oh, interesting.
So, I mean, you know, you look at this. I mean, the last coach, the guy who Tyronn Lue replaced, was in first place, and they had the best record in the Eastern Conference, and they fired him.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's not good. I mean, I probably sound a little happy, you know, about this, which, you know, it's such an incredible story. I mean, it really is how this team, you know, was, you know, just kind of gradually gotten older, and they've kind of, you know, they've depleted their assets to the point where they're the oldest team in the league right now, and they just can't put anything together right now. Yeah, it's going to be slow, Dave. It's going to be a slow rebuild. Even with that Nets pick, it's going to be tough. It's going to take a long time.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, I think it's just reached a point where it's going to be really, really difficult to salvage any part of this season now. And I did get a major laugh. Well, not a laugh, but a major chuckle when Chris Broussard went on one of the Fox shows. I don't know which show it was, but he went on and he said, well, you know, LeBron is responsible too. I'm like, two? Like, he's the one that bullied them into these bad contracts. What are you talking about, two? Like, he's a big part of this.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, and I mean, a lot of it is, you know, him signing his friends, and, like, I think a couple of these contracts, Tristan Thompson, I think they share the same agent, and LeBron, like, lobbied for them to give him this huge contract. And that contract is, I mean, let's face it, that's an albatross. I mean, it's not the worst. It's not, you know, Joakim Noah, but it's pretty bad. It's up there right now. I as much as I like LeBron and respect him and I love his game, he's got to take a lot of heat because, you know, I mean, if what we're hearing is true, you know, he's kind of been, in a lot of ways, the architect of this team, and this is where we are. And so he got credit for, you know, when they won the championship 2 years ago, but he's got to take some of the fall for what's going on right now. And that's what, you know, that's what happens. You know, that's what you do. When you get LeBron, you're getting this, you know?
Right.
And he likes to, you know, he and Wade, they put together the team in Miami with Chris Bosh. And this is on him too. You're right.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be a very interesting decision for NBA teams this offseason as to who's going to make the push to get him. I mean, certainly it's not a surprise when you see teams that are in the dumps trying to go for him. Lakers is one that gets rumored a lot. Clippers too. I loved your call with the Rockets. It makes you, we'll maybe get into this more in the off season, but the Rockets trying to go after him would be really, really something. Like, that would be, that'd be some team, but certainly it'll have its pratfalls with it. I mean, the Rockets are already playing great basketball. It's like, it's not like they even need another superstar, but it really would certainly add quite a dimension of interest and intrigue to this league if the, if that were to occur. So I'm curious about it too, but we'll see. Now, I'm going to get more into that aspect of it in a moment, because we're going to get to the Lakers midseason and offseason plans momentarily. So that to come. But staying on LeBron's all-star team, his all-star team has been depleted badly. We already heard about John Wall. We heard about Kyrie Irving. Did he come back tonight against that Toronto team, in that Toronto game?
Yeah, he's playing tonight.
Well, so he had been battling a little bit of injury, but then Kevin Love's out for the season, and I'm missing one, I think. But Kristaps Porzingis tonight, it can now be added to this really huge cluster of guys that have to miss the All-Star game because of serious injury. He was hurt in the game tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks, and from that point on, the Bucks just poured it on the Knicks. They just trashed the Knicks from that point forward. They are now up by 800 points. Like, it's, I didn't check the score, but it was like 78-5 to 50 something at one point. And clearly, without Porzingis, it's easily their best player, and that's a big loss for LeBron's All-Star team too. Although that's less of a story because an All-Star game is just an exhibition, but that just doesn't look good. I don't know if you saw the game. I didn't see any footage of the injury itself, so I can't speak to how serious it is at this point. Like, I don't know if it's a torn patella, or I don't know if it's a torn meniscus, or if it's a torn Achilles, or if it's a torn ACL. Like, any of that is going to be a serious injury that's going to take months to recover. So but it's terrible. I mean, the Knicks aren't a good team this year, but he was the guy that everybody was coming to watch play. And so this is a big blow to the NBA, because he's a very entertaining and very popular player. So this is such a dumb question. What does this mean for the Knicks? Everybody knows what it means for the Knicks. It means that they're without their superstar, and now they're just, what? What do they do? Full-out tank mode? I'm not really sure where they go from here. So,
I think it means welcome to the tankathon.
Yeah.
Because there is, you know what? They're playing 426 basketball, which, you know, I guess is somewhat surprising, but man, they're teams. I mean, I could see them, you know, they're right now, they're 11th from the, you know, they're actually, gosh, they're pretty much tied with, well, they're a little ahead of the Lakers. I think that you're going to see them drop like a stone, and, you know, try to get another good draft pick, but that's what that means. I did see the injury. It looked bad, Dave. I mean, he just collapsed to the ground, clutching his knee. It's not a good team without him. I mean, one thing that's interesting about it is just how, you know, how many of these big guys, and I'm, you know, Porzingis, you're talking about a 7'3" guy. How many of them really just can't stay healthy and like have show promise early on and have a lot of potential? And, you know, I think there's such a thing as you can be too tall to play in the NBA. whether you're talking about like a guy like Yao Ming, or, you know, like guys like this who are just, you know, they're very fragile, and you know, that they don't. I think there's a lot of pressure. Ralph Sampson's another guy. He was 7'6". You know, most of these guys, they don't have the kind of productive careers. I mean, Odin's another guy. I mean, they just, you know, they get really banged up. And I think unfortunately, I don't want, you know, I obviously don't know the extent of the injury right now, but and I hope it's not the case, because I really like Kristaps. I like his game, but I hope he's not another casualty in the same vein as some of these other guys. But it is interesting, though. If you look back, I mean, there almost seems like Kareem was 7'2". And, you know, obviously, you know, you could argue one of the, you know, the three greatest centers of all time. But there's almost like a cutoff there. After 7'2", like, who's the best big man who's ever played? I mean, it's just, it's really tough. I mean, there's not a lot of good players that guys who had productive careers above 7'3" or taller.
Right. I mean, a very solid call on that. Now, I forget what Shaq's height was. I thought it was 7'1" or 7'3", but it's certainly, once you're past 7'1", you're kind of taking your chances. I know Arvydas Sabonis, another guy that was a really tall guy.
No.
Did not
Shaq
last very
long. Shaq was 7'1".
Oh, who was?
Shaq.
Oh, Shaq was 7'1"? Okay, so that was yep. Right on there. So right on that cutoff. Boogie Cousins, I don't know how tall he is exactly. Another one, but I brought him up because that's the other guy that's off the All-Star team for LeBron. So LeBron's got no breaks this year, especially with his All-Star scenario. Like, hey, man, these guys replacing him aren't great. I mean, they're okay, but replacing Kevin Love is Goran Dragic. I don't know who's going to replace, who will end up replacing Porzingis, but... You know, you mentioned Kemba Walker. I mean, if there is a time, this is the time. Put him in there now. So, but they lose a lot of length with these injuries. Love and Cousins and Porzingis, all those guys have good length. I mean, that's
so
like
they have AD. They have AD, but yeah, they lost three big guys. I didn't even think of that. That's a good point. And maybe LeBron was wise to stock up on bigs.
Yeah, that's a good way to look
something.
At it. Yeah. But he's lost almost all his depth now. That's that poor guy. I mean, can't catch a break. So it's a mess. It really is. Now, I wrote down here that the Cavs were 6-12 since Christmas Day. So with tonight's loss, they're 6-13. I mean, there are a lot of bad teams that can play better than 6-13 over about a month and a half. And so it's really hit the bottom for them. So, best of luck to Porzingis because he just seems like such a fun guy to watch in the NBA, and it really hurts me to see that. So we will see what happens and how severe the injury is later on. Now let's talk a little bit about the Clippers and Pistons. Let's follow up from last week. They are going to play against each other on Friday in Detroit, and this is going to be very interesting. Now I'm going to present an interesting angle for the Pistons. You know, this entire season, I do not remember the Pistons being on TNT once. I didn't see him one time on TNT, and I don't even know if I saw him on ESPN at all. So this is going to be a very big boost, a real kick in the pants for that franchise. And it brings them to a level of relevancy that I don't think they've seen in maybe 5 years. Because I'm thinking about it, I'm like, we talked about the Pistons a couple times on the show before, but we never really addressed them as like a premier team. For good reason, like there wasn't really anybody that would move the needle on that team from a media standpoint. Well, since they've had Blake Griffin, not only have they won every game, but they have been really talked about more than we could have imagined. There's certainly a lot of risk that comes with it long term, but that combo of Griffin with Andre Drummond is just so much vertical. Like that's like vertical through your ears. Like it's really incredible. But what has done to galvanize the Pistons fan base is huge because there had been very tangible reports of attendance issues at this brand new arena, Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. There were some absolute data on just terrible attendance at this new arena. They were just not bringing people to seats. And I think that this trade maybe exciting enough to bring people to the stadium now. And I think that's huge. So this is going to be a really big moment for both teams. And there are obviously two teams in separate directions at the moment. But I think the Clippers can certainly turn it around with a good offseason. But what you have left for the Clippers, I saw it last night. Yes, you were actually pretty big on some of these guys. Certainly, who was it?
Tobias Harris?
Yeah, thank you. Tobias Harris, a pretty good outside shooter. And we just mentioned that he's going to be in the three-point contest. He did have some nice shots last night. Some good contributions. Avery Bradley with a key defensive play at the end of that game on Monday night against Dallas. Pretty much saved Dallas from saved the Clippers near the end. It was a clutch play, and so he's a great defender. Some of these other guys that they have going back to the Rockets trade. They had the Montrezl Harrell. You have Lou Williams, who's probably getting traded, but you have him there for the moment. You had not Gordon. No, Gordon's on the Rockets. So, but there was Sam Dekker, who finally hit a couple 3-pointers last night. I don't think he's that great, but it's something. I think Wallace. I don't know if Wallace was part of that trade, but he's on there too. Gallinari, who is way overpaid, but he had a good shooting night last night. It's an unusual team, but there are guys who are decent on the Clippers right now, and they could even make that even better. I did not see DeAndre Jordan play very many minutes last night. I think that's an indicator to me he's getting traded on Thursday, honestly. So trade deadline's coming up. So by Friday, we might see an even different Clipper team going up against Detroit. So this is going to be a very, very interesting game. I'm going to try to get out of work early just so I can catch the start of this matchup. Because, over here, it'll start like 4:30. So I'll see if I can get out, catch as much as I can. It'll be a really good game, I think. So what is your perspective on both of these teams right now?
Oh, man. Yeah, I've gone back and forth so many times on that play trade. And the more I think about it, the more I like it for the Clippers, just because, I mean, he can still play. But you look at that contract, man, he's going to be making he's signed till the 2021-22 season. And his escalators, he's making $29 million this year, and it goes up and up and up till he's making almost $39 million in 2021-22. And that is not going to age well. I think the Clippers did the right thing by getting out from under that contract, especially considering all the injuries he's had. And they got a collection of parts, and I do like Tobias Harris. I think he's like a pretty good player. Another one of those guys who escaped from Orlando and turned out to be pretty good, along with Victor Oladipo. I'm a big Avery Bradley fan. Whether they bring him back or not, I don't know. And then, the Clippers have kind of. I feel like when I can watch them, when I can stay up late enough to watch them, I will. And so they've kind of become, in a weird way, my de facto second, favorite team in the NBA. They're my Western Conference team right now, just because they're so interesting. I'm a huge Teodosic fan. I love that guy. I love watching him play. I think you're right. I mean, I could see them moving several pieces. I could totally see them moving DJ, as we've talked about. I think you're right on money with that. Whether they will, I don't know. I think just having that salary space that they can clear out is going to be key for them. I could see them moving Avery Bradley, to be honest with you. I mean, it's just he's, again, another expiring contract. I don't think, they're looking at any of these guys as parts they're going to rebuild it around. So why not see what you can get?
I like that call on Bradley, because I would be very surprised if they tried to retain him, because I think what he's going to want for a contract after this season is going to be too much for what the Clippers want to do. I think they'd prefer the flexibility, so I think they will trade him. So then what you do is you think about who's going to need a good defender around the league. Like, who's missing that defender to really put them in a better place? I'm trying to think of, like, what team would be in a good position to take that and be willing to take on the salary, too. Like, maybe even consider a re-up for next season. Or even just a team that just wants him for this year, so the I don't even know where to go with that. Like, I wouldn't know what team is closing in on whoever. And I wouldn't even, like, you could say Utah, because Utah's have been red hot this month. I mean, blazing hot. I mean, they are running right up the standings. They're closing in on a playoff spot. They were 10th when I looked at them about 5 days ago. They've got to be closer than that now. Or not necessarily, like, closer in terms of seeding, but closer in terms of number of games behind. That's an exciting team right now because of how things are going. Mitchell got selected to the dunk contest and what have you. But that defense is solid. They don't need more defenders. They're good. So that's not going to be a team to trade him to. I wouldn't even know where you would trade Bradley to, but I do think that the Clippers will definitely try to make the push to do so. I think Lou's gone too. Because he's such a good shooter. So many teams are going to want him. And Jordan, same thing. People are going to want the rebounding. But they really, and I think Jordan will be the biggest priority for them to get rid of. So Jordan's kind of feeling it too. You can kind of see it in his face. You can see it in his social media. Like, I think he's pretty sure that he's gone. I think it would be a pretty big surprise if he's on the court in that Pistons game on Friday. I mean, I would be really surprised if I saw him in Detroit.
Yeah, I the thing about Avery Bradley, he's making $8.8 million, so almost $9 million. So that it's a tough contract to move in some regards, because I mean, you know, he was, in a lot of ways, he was kind of like the filler on this, to make the, make the contracts match in the Blake deal. That's the tricky part. I mean, if we're to believe the rumors, it sounds like Denver is looking for a guard, and there were rumors about maybe them going after Marcus Smart from Boston. That's a possibility. It will be tricky. I mean, they could trade him. I could totally see him trading him, but I'd have to play around with the NBA trade machine a little bit to find a good destination for him, for Avery Bradley, that is.
Yep. He's a nice player, though. I mean, I think he will be a very good contributor. I'm just trying to see, like you said, like I'm wondering who's going to have the financial situation that'll work to get him and keep him under the cap and everything. So, I'm curious. I think that team's out there. I just haven't really figured out which one's going to step up and make the move. So we'll see. An update on the scoreboard: the Houston Rockets stormed back and beat the Brooklyn Nets 123-113. So the Nets were up for a moment late in the game, but the Rockets turned that around and started to win. Rockets looking very, very good right now. People have been talking up the Rockets record with Capella, Paul, and Harden all on the court at the same time. And wait, was that right? Yeah, Capella, Harden, and Chris Paul. And it's just amazing. Like, they did lose one game, I think, with them, but with all them together. But overall, they've just been fantastic when everybody's been healthy. So that's big. I don't know. I mean, we can talk about that if you want right now, but we should probably focus on the trade deadline. By the way, with the Rockets, do you think they would try to trade to improve any small areas of their team? Like, I can't think of anything myself, because that team's pretty solid. Like, they've got the defense, they've got the offense. I think their bench scoring is pretty good. I mean, they've got guys there. So I can't really complain. I mean, I think they're pretty much figured out in most of that roster. So where do you see
them? I don't really see them I don't see Houston making a move. I mean, the only reason I bring up LeBron, and I think it would be the offseason, would be because he's such good friends with Chris Paul. And you could reunite the whole Banana Boat crew. But I don't see them. I mean, they're kind of strapped right now, and the biggest moving part that they could trade is Ryan Anderson, and you know that's a difficult contract to move. I don't know. We'll see. I think they probably feel like they're in a good spot, which they are, and I'd be surprised if they make a big move before Thursday.
Yep. So meanwhile, we go back to some of the teams that are going to try to make a push. And one of them is not the Lakers, apparently. It seems more and more like they're probably not going to do anything major. And to add to that, they announced their intentions to expand their free agency quest to the 2019 offseason. So they'll make a push in 2018, try to get a big name, but they're not going to push. They're not going to go all in with it. And I think that's pretty keen. I think maybe a lot of Laker fans won't like that. They'll be like, well, why have we been stuck in so much for? We don't even get a pick. But seriously, I think it's in their best interest to try to keep the cap space free where they can. There's no reason to oversell on this. They've got another offseason to work with. I think that's fine. I think it's perfectly fine. I do think that they need to move some of these assets, though, if they want to really maximize that opportunity to their potential. For example, you've been saying for weeks that Clarkson should be moved. I agree. I think Clarkson should be traded, even though it's going to kill him for their backcourt depth. But we're not talking about this year. This year's not going to happen. Like, I don't think we worry about it. They've been playing great basketball, though. So it's a bit of a shame because, like, I love watching that guy play. But I have to admit, it wouldn't be realistic as a long-term prospect to have him there beyond this year because he's just getting paid. Being paid a lot. I thought it was like something like $17 million or something like that. So, yeah. So I don't know. That's tough to hang on to because there's a lot of good guards out there. They're going to be guards in the draft down the road. Not this year. I mean, this year and next year probably. So I don't know. I mean, it's you don't want to hang on to that too hard. So I think he should go. Randall's going to hurt. I just think that he's been playing better every month, and that's going to be tough. But the bottom line here is that the Lakers aren't doing a one-year plan. They're going to do a two-year plan. And look, people are going to kill them for it. I've already mentioned to you in messages that the Ringer is killing them for not, quote-unquote, having a plan. No, they got a plan. This is a good plan. I think this will be fine. It's just that we're just going to have to wait another year. I think I think they should try to get assets right now, but I don't think it's the end of the world if they just keep the team as it is and try to gel with it. Because they have been, Joe. They've been playing pretty good with it lately. So, where do you think the Lakers should go? Where do you think they will go?
You know, it highlights an interesting thing about this trade deadline to me. You have these teams who are like kind of on the fringe. They're either, you know, at the low end of the playoffs, you know, like a 7 or 8 seed, or they're, you know, 9 through 11, and they're just outside of the playoffs. And the way the NBA is right now, there's no real incentive for them to get better. I mean, there's no, you know what I mean? Like, there's no incentive for them to go out and make a big splash and bring in someone who can maybe get them to be the 6th seed or the 5th seed. It's just, you know, there's actually more of, in my opinion, in some of these cases, and you know, Clippers are an example. There's more of a incentive to trade away the big players and to give up talent. And you know, I think that's the way the league is right now, where you're looking at, you know, possibly more sellers than buyers. I mean, I feel like it's really a buyer's market right now. We'll see how that shapes up and if that hypothesis is true. But I feel like the Lakers are kind of find themselves in that position, you know, at 21-31. They could make the playoffs. You know, you look at New Orleans at the low end of that. They're the 8th seed right now, and you know, they just lost their big player in Cousins, and the Clippers, you know, made that trade. And so, you know, you could see the Lakers maybe they could go on a run. And I don't know if it's probably going to be really difficult for them to actually earn a playoff spot. I don't know. I mean, I feel like, you know, I've said it for a while, like it makes sense for them to trade away or see what they can get. I shouldn't say, you know, not just trade away Clarkson, but see what they can get for him and or for Randall. Clarkson, because he's, yeah, like as you pointed out, Dave, he's making, I believe, $16 million this year, and he signed for, is it 2 more years or 1 more year? I can't remember. But he's the logical piece to go because he's making so much money, and he'd be the guy I'd be looking to see if I could unload for a team that needs a guard who can, you know, come off the bench and score a little bit. Just checking that. Oh, wow, I'm off. So yeah, Clarkson's making 11.5 this year. And 12 and change next year, 12 and a half, and then 13. So he signed for 2 more years after this one. So, yeah, I mean, with the way their salary structure is, it's not the worst contract in the world, but you know, it would be the obvious thing, you know, the obvious, because the worst contract on the Lakers right now is Lual Deng. And we talked about this. Yeah. What happened to that guy?
I don't know.
I don't even understand how, you know, this, you know, he was a star in the league and signed with this big contract with the Lakers. and he basically hasn't played for them, has he? I mean, am I crazy? I don't even remember ever seeing him play for the Lakers.
I saw him play a couple games, but this year he hasn't been seen at all, even in preseason. So, like, it's really weird.
Yeah, I mean, he's making $17 million this year, and as far as I know, he's not injured. He's just not on. He's not playing with the team. I mean, what? I don't know. I mean, the Lakers did a good thing. I mean, you got to give them credit. That the trade they made with the Nets, where they basically gave up D'Angelo Russell so they could get get the Nets to take on Timothy Mozgov's contract, was such an interesting trade for both sides, really. But for the Lakers' perspective, I mean, one, they got Kuzma back on that field too. So even though they gave up a really good young player, they got a good young player back, and then they got that salary space. But from the Nets' perspective too, is that, you know, they're not going to be able to sign big name free agents. And by the time Mozgov's coming off the books, you know, in theory they'll be a much better team, and they'll be in better shape, and they'll be able to maybe potentially attract free agents. So that's in my mind, that's kind of the future of how, like, teams are going to be able to unload some of these bad deals. I mean, you'll have to give up a talent like a D'Angelo, but you know, that's kind of the trade-off, right? And if you look at, the Lakers made out really well by getting Kuzma. I mean, that's just, it kind of, you know, it's I mean, credit to them. I mean, I'm curious to see, you know, you mentioned the plan. I'm curious to see what Pelinka and Magic do in the next few years. And I don't mean that sarcastically either. I don't know. I you know, they've made some bold decisions already, and I'm interested to see where they go and if they can attract one of these big free agents. But you're kind of in the mindset that they're not going to go after LeBron or Paul George or Boogie Cousins or any of these guys next year in the offseason, right?
Well, I think maybe they'll hold out their hand and say, hey, you want to join us? But it doesn't seem like they're feeling like the urgency to do it, if that makes any sense. Like, I don't think they're going to push hard enough and do the PowerPoints and do, you know, mock raising the number of the rafters or anything like that with any of these guys, like they might have tried to do with LaMarcus Aldridge and guys like that. I don't think they need to, personally. But, I mean, the fans are going to want LeBron just because they're remembering LeBron going to 8 straight NBA finals. But we talked about it a week ago. Even for 33 to 37, yeah, he's going to be good. But it could turn on any moment. Like, he could just get hurt. He could rip his knee. And that's it. He'll never be the same after that. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of risk that goes with signing a guy who's entering his year 33 season. It's a little better in the NBA than, like, other sports. I mean, in NFL, 33, you're done. You know, like, it's over for a lot of people in that league. Baseball, it could go either way. Hockey, you're probably good because I see a lot of hockey guys play till like, 40, so I don't think that's a problem. But you know, NBA, it's 50-50. Sometimes you're fine, sometimes you're not. I mean, Dirk Nowitzki is probably 40 right now, and he's playing good basketball. Not that good, but certainly good enough to stay in the league, so there is that. So I don't know. I don't know myself, but I just feel like the Lakers don't appear on the surface to be really trying to make a big push to getting the free agent this year. And I don't think it's a bad call, because I do think that they should make a push to get Paul George, because I think that's great. I don't know why, but some people think that he's just going to stay with Oklahoma City. Maybe he's just comfortable there. I don't know. But that's a possible thing, too. So maybe they're onto that, and they're like, well, okay, let's not overdo it trying to get these guys. Maybe they won't come. But the next year's group is going to be interesting. It could be Boogie. It could be Klay Thompson. And there was one more on the table I saw, and I didn't quite catch, but... But I saw that name, like, whoa, that could be good too. So we'll get a picture of it. I think the Lakers opening it to both years is an interesting call. Like, I think they've been so bad for so long at this point. Like, to me, it's like, what's another year at this point? You know, they've already been so bad. Like, why would I fuss over, well, if they do it in 18 or if they do it in 19? It's probably going to amount to some better decision making. So I think that that could be positive, or we could get something huge next offseason. I don't know. I mean, it's there's no way to tell. But I think I like that, at least on the surface, they're trying to think ahead. And I think that works out for them in the long run. So, okay. I guess that's it. Any other thoughts on the Lakers?
Yeah, I wanted to just kind of look at their contracts because, I mean, I feel like, and I'm probably way more optimistic about this than a lot of people, but, you know, between the three young guys, and by that I mean Lonzo, Kuzma, and Ingram, you know, they could have a nice little nucleus there. I mean, granted, all of those guys have a little ways to go, but you could almost see them building a team around those three guys and then filling in with free agents. And you mentioned, I think it was like 2020, you mentioned like potentially Jimmy Butler, or I can't remember, there was someone else who was a free agent. I can't recall the name, but almost, you know, I could kind of see that too. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if they go that route where they don't get LeBron, they don't get Paul George. Like, let's just say Paul George re-signs with OKC, which could happen. You know, maybe they do bring back Randall. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, you know, they could certainly do that. But you know, like maybe they kind of take a step back and just, you know, build with the young guys and then fill in with the free agents later. We'll see. I mean, like I said, I'm kind of interested to see what direction this team goes, because they've been in the lottery the last 3 years, right?
Yeah.
Top of the lottery. I mean, they had, you know, it's number two pick last year. Was Ingram was the two pick too, right?
Yeah.
Ingram was the number two pick.
Yep.
And then, I mean, obviously they struck gold with Kuzma, who's like 28 or something like that. And even like some of these other guys, I like, you know, Josh Harden, he's had some nice games for them and in Lonzo's absence. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm interested to see where they go. I don't agree. I think they're going to be very aggressive in free agency, though. We'll see. I mean, maybe you're right.
Well, it's also possible that they're positioning themselves as we're not going to make a big deal just to keep the other GMs thinking, oh, all right, we don't have to worry about them. And then all of a sudden they turn it around and start to go crazy in the offseason. It's hard to say. You're right. It could be just a smokescreen. There's no way to know. But it is an exciting time for the Lakers, even though people are kind of expecting better results at this point. But they have been playing great. And it does seem like this team is growing together. I'm seeing the chemistry grow and grow with each week. Tonight they're going to play against the Phoenix Suns. When you hear this podcast, the game will have commenced. But the Suns are horrible. The Lakers are at least better than them. Doesn't mean they're going to win the game, but I think it'll be something that's very gettable for that team. So this is an exciting time. That's basically the intention. And you mentioned that the Clarkson contract's not that bad, and you're right. It's like 11 and 12. That's really not that bad. I mean, the cap is about, what is the cap? Like 100... Well, blah, blah, blah. So it's a little over 100,000. So, I mean, 100 million. So, I guess it's not too bad. Anyway, let's move on. Other trade rumors in the works. Let's see. Tyreke Evans. That's a big one. A lot of people interested in Evans. Sixers have expressed interest. Other teams have as well. This guy's going to be a great asset. Who do you think would be best suited for him?
Excuse me. Well, I've been before the Celtics went out and got Greg Monroe, I was kind of thinking he'd be a nice fit on Boston, just because they really need that bench scoring, and he totally could have helped in that regard. You know, have a real nice swingman who can kind of fill it up a little bit and. But the rumors are, so the Celtics are still rumored to be in on it. The other teams that I've heard a lot, again, Denver, which is interesting. So Denver is one of those teams that is currently in sixth place. So they're kind of, you know, they're on the low end of the playoff scenario. But But they're one team. I've, you know, heard the Sixers maybe, you know, interested getting another bench scorer. So, but Memphis hasn't played him in over a week now. They just held him out with the anticipation that they're going to trade him before the deadline. Again, you know, he's an expiring contract. I'm pretty sure that they do not hold his bird rights, so there's nothing, you know, there's nothing gained by keeping him. So I think they're, you know, I think he's a goner. Whether, you know, whether they get a first rounder or not, that's another question. But we'll see. Again, I think the number of buyers is quite low. I that's just my prediction. I think, you know, you're going to see him. You know, I don't think Memphis is going to get a whole heck of a lot for 2 or 3 months of Tyreek. But that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to do with that, because I remember that he's had some pretty serious injuries in the past, but I think he is he's a pretty good player. So I guess the question is the ceiling going to be great for the money? And the answer to that is I don't know. So we'll see. All right, next up, you mentioned the Smart move, another overture for a guard for Denver. I also wonder if Denver might make them push to get Lou Williams. I thought, okay, they want a point guard. Lou Williams is a point guard. The trick of it is that he doesn't really pass. So I don't know. I don't know if that's going to suit Denver. Where do you see Denver going with the point guard scenario?
Yeah, I've been beating that drum for a while. I mean, they like Murray. I don't know. And it's just, maybe it's my own bias. I see him as a little bit more of an undersized shooting guard. Yeah, I mean, you know, Lou is another guy. I mean, I feel like he's in kind of in the same scenario with Tyreek. I mean, very, you know, in some ways, I mean, he's a smaller player. He's not, in some ways very similar because, again, expiring contracts. I don't believe that the Clippers own his bird rights. So there's, again, nothing to gain there. But, you know, I got to see what the market is. I mean, I think, you know, certainly, again, the Celtics could use that kind of bench player to help, you know, because they're one of the worst scoring benches in basketball right now. Surprisingly, the Warriors bench has been kind of weak. I mean, I could almost see them making a move. Their bench has been kind of a bit of a disappointment, as some of those guys like Iguodala have taken a bit of a step back. So we'll see there. I don't know. I'm anxious to see it because I do think these, particularly Tyreek, is ready to be traded. Like I said, they've held him out of games. He hasn't played in several games. So, they're pretty determined to get rid of him. And but I don't know what the market's going to be like for him.
Interesting, right? It really is. You've spotted a very good Okay, you spotted a very keen observation with the Warriors bench. I feel like I made that point too. I don't know if I made it to you, but I made it to somebody, and then people were like, "Really interesting. You think the bench is that bad?" And I was like, "Well, it's just, I think some of the guys that had been pretty good have not really been up to their usual level, and that's just gonna happen. I mean, Iguodala is not a young guy. He's been around a while, so I guess suppose that's natural." And I guess the reason why I had that suspicion about their bench is because they haven't been able to really put away teams like they normally would in the regular season. Some good examples, like they played Sacramento on Friday, and they were just struggling most of that game. They fell behind 20-8 in the beginning, and it was like 20-4, and they came back and they won. They even covered the spread, but they were struggling in that game. The next game, the next night on Saturday, they got pasted by the Nuggets we were just talking about. So, I don't know. I mean, I think they do need bench help. I have to agree with that. I think, you know, you look at some of these guys, these jokers like Zaza Pachulia and JaVale McGee. I mean, they're not that impressive. I mean, I don't know where you're going to get production. You know, in the past, they would get contributions from guys like Mo Spates. They would get help from Harrison Barnes, those guys aren't there anymore. And even if they were, they wouldn't be that good right now. But so they probably do need a boost in that arena. I think that would be big time. A guy that could step off the bench and relieve Curry would be huge as well. Or even to a lesser extent, someone that could be a shooting guard to really be a better bench scorer in place of Klay Thompson. So you're right. I think that'll be big. So now I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the I think the one guy they had some optimism about was your boy Young Sweezy, who's still okay, but
Swaggy P.
I'm talking of course about Nick Young, but yeah. Wasn't Swaggy P?
Swaggy P. Well, we love Swaggy P. Well, we loved the character of Swaggy P. I mean, as a player, he was a decent player. He wasn't a great player, but as a character, he was certainly entertaining. So,
yeah, no, that was the one guy that I remember that, you know, they kind of had some hope that he would fill in on the bench and be contributing. He's been decent. You know, he's played about 15 minutes a game for them, but. And Jordan Bell was actually Jordan Bell, the rookie. I think he's injured right now, out of Oregon, and he's going to steal out of the second round. He has ankle injury and is out till the middle of the month. So that was the other guy that has kind of stepped up. So I don't know. We'll see. Golden State might be a team to keep an eye on just because they've been a little banged up, and they've had some rough losses. They've been kind of. I mean, you know, for a team that has the best record in basketball right now, has kind of limped into the All-Star break a little bit.
I've been hearing that a lot on a lot of NBA games. People are like, oh, they're limping to the All-Star break. They're limping. They're just trudging along. It seems like the season has been taking a toll on everybody in the NBA. Tonight or tomorrow or last night, if you're listening on the podcast. The Warriors are going to play the Oklahoma City Thunder at Oracle. So we have a good matchup here. Westbrook will certainly try to get back at the Dubs. And interestingly, you remember earlier this year, or earlier this season, the Thunder killed them. Remember that? They went over to OKC, and Westbrook was on a mission that night. He was dominating that game. And the Thunder just absolutely just torched the Warriors on that night. So, maybe they're a little more vulnerable on the road. But the good news is for Golden State is that tonight they're at home. So we'll see if the score ends up a little better. But yeah, I think it'll be a good one. It'll be a good litmus test for both teams. Remember, the Thunder are on a 4-game losing streak. They lost to the Lakers. I'm sure they're embarrassed about that. But I was jumping up and down on that one as a Laker fan. That was great. But I think the Thunder will be fine, but they definitely could use a win. This is a good team to win against, so how do you see it?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, the Thunder's losing streak will continue. I think, it is interesting because Westbrook, he's a very emotional player, and he definitely holds grudges, and he seemingly does not like his old teammate, Kevin Durant, and he gets fired up to play against them. But I don't see that making a difference tonight. I think the Warriors win. That should be a good one. I don't know if I'll stay up for it, Dave. I might have to get a full report from you tomorrow about it because, you know, these 10:30 starts are on the East Coast, you know, the game ends at like 1:30 in the morning. It's a little rough on a school night.
Oh, for sure.
But but yeah, that should be a good one.
Absolutely. I am getting a stat for you right now. I want to show this to you because this is really interesting. So we mentioned that they really could have lost both games, but they went 1-1 in their little roadie there over the weekend. They lost convincingly at Denver. And with the Warriors coming off of a loss, what I'm trying to determine is whether this is just in the Curry era. Oh, that's just the season. Okay. So the Warriors are 11-0 coming off of a loss this year. So there's a really good chance they win the game. I think they are going to win. I agree with you. I think it'll be a good win. I don't know how convincing a win it'll be, but they're going to win. I don't think that'll be in doubt. So I think we'll see that tonight. All right, very good. So let's continue with our trade talk. Bulls might trade Robin Lopez. We already mentioned Mirotić traded. So if the Bulls can trade him, go trade him, because I think he's not going to do anything for you now. I mean, the Bulls season is done, so I think that's a small, solid move. But similar to what we were saying about Tyreek Evans, similar to what we were saying about, who was the other one? I think to a lesser extent, Lou Williams. Yeah. Who's going to want him? Who is going to want Robin Lopez? Where will he be a good fit? So who would be a team that could really benefit from a Robin Lopez trade?
Oh, boy, who needs a big man? Man, that's a tough one. I don't know. Did you have any initial thoughts? I mean, it's...
Yeah, this is tough. I don't know. Because, I mean, Robin Lopez's defense is meh. So I can't... I don't think the Warriors would really want to deal with him. And he's probably making too much anyway. The Warriors have probably got to be really pushing it with the cap limit right now. So, I don't know. I'm in the dark, too. I have no idea who would even go that route. I mean, sure, Bulls are going to try, but... Yeah. Wait, let me look at...
What is Robin Lopez? I was just looking at the standings and see a team that might be interested. His salary, it's not the worst. It's 13.7 this year, and he's got one more year next year, 14.35.
Right.
So there is some interest. You know, that has some value, you know, like picking up a contract that is expiring after next year. You know, maybe there's someone who wants to move a contract and use that slot and then use that to slot opening to sign another free agent the following year. I don't know. Yeah, that's a tough one. That wasn't even on my radar, the Robin Lopez possibility.
Yeah, I think that's the reason, though, because, I mean, nobody's really, no obvious contender is coming out for this. The only team I could even think, and the only two teams I could really think of would be Portland. And I don't even know Portland. They already got Nurkic. So I don't know if they need... Or is Nurkic with Denver? I keep forgetting. Oh, no, Jokic is with Denver. Nurkic is with Portland. Okay. But...
Yeah, they both need to be with Denver. But you're right. You got that right.
Okay. So I don't know if the big man is really a need. I would think San Antonio, but where would they get the cap room to do that? Like, I don't even know how they would have enough money to actually pay him. So that's, and then New Orleans maybe because they're down a big man, but I don't know what he brings to the table for their point of view. I'm sure they're trying to clear salary at this point, so I don't really know with them either. So yeah, I really don't have one. I guess that's just where we're gonna end up. I mean, Miami's got plenty of big men. Indiana, okay, maybe Indiana, I guess, but I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't even know. I don't know what Indiana would do with him. Milwaukee's got Giannis. Washington.
This is a modern NBA. You used to load up on big guys. Now it's like, if we have one who's capable, you know, that's enough, really.
Yeah. That great call.
You know, it's just... Yeah. I remember back in the mid-'80s, like, everyone wanted the Twin Towers, and you had... You know, you play two centers if you could. It's the opposite now. You don't. They just clog the paint and
yeah,
and clog the floor. And I'm trying to think of a scenario where a team would be like, oh yeah, Robin Lopez is the missing piece, but I don't see it.
I mean, at least he shoots threes. I mean, at least if he's in that regard, like he could be like a good like. He could be a good mid-range to long-range shooter, too. But ultimately, it's not jumping out at anybody. Like, who's really looking for that? Not a lot of people. I think, like you said, I think a lot of these guys are covered. Even the Lakers are covered. I mean, they're a pretty small team, but they already have his brother. Like, he's already, like, their guy. Like, it's almost like trading for the same thing. I don't think there's a point there. So, yeah, you're right. He's kind of... The Bulls are going to have a challenge on their hands trying to find someone who'll take them off their hands. We'll see. Let's see. And the last one... Well, there's one with the Nets. We'll get to that in a moment. But the Hawks are in full-scale sell mode. And to me, I'm like, who are they going to sell? They have expressed their willingness to get rid of anybody. So there are a few guys that they could get rid of. Oh, the Hawks just absolutely killed Memphis tonight. Unbelievable. Like, they won by 30 points. But they have Bazemore. They've got Schroeder. One more, I think, that they could
Deadman is the one that I think about.
There you go. Yeah. So
they actually have more than that. I think they could trade Bellinelli. He'd be an option. You need a shooter off the bench. He could be the guy. Actually, he's an interesting case. I just want to see his salary, like what he's making. But he'd be an interesting case just because you need a little instant offense off the bench. Marco might be your man. He's only making 6.6, so he's a possibility. The other guy. I don't think they're going to trade any of these young guys like Prince or DeAndre Bembry. I think they're at the point where they just want to see what they have. I mean, John Collins, they're certainly not going to trade. Deadman's making a little bit more. I could see them. Oh, Ilyasova is the other possibility, a power forward. And he's making, let's see.
$6 million?
Yeah, $6 million. So it's totally, that's totally within the realm of possibility. So those are the guys. Deadman is an interesting case because, he's another big guy. And just this year, he started shooting the three a lot more with Atlanta. So he he's a big guy, but he can be like that, stretch four position. So I don't know. I can't remember. He's making a little bit more. I think he's making, and I think they signed him for a couple of years. The Hawks, that is. He's 6 in that same $6 million range. So. That's another guy to keep your eye on. So I can see the Hawks moving any one of those three guys, or maybe all of them. I don't know. It depends on how active the market is.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting next 48 hours. I really am looking forward to seeing who's going to fire on all these deals. I mean, a lot of rumblings, some big names involved. Well, maybe not huge names, but pretty big names involved. It'll be something, I think. And like I said, some of these guys I feel like are locks to go. They're going to be gone, and we'll see. So last one is the Nets trading Zeller to the Bucks for Rashad Vaughn in a second rounder. I don't know what to make of this. I don't think that Zeller is really that good, and I don't have a feel for Vaughn. And the second rounder could be interesting. Maybe that'll work out. We've seen some occasional scorers at the second round of the NBA draft, so... Do you have any feel for who won this trade?
I don't. Any team who gets Tyler Zeller can't be called a winner. I've just seen enough. I've seen too much of him over the last 2 years with the Celtics.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, if he's not 7 feet, there's no way he's near the NBA because he has zero basketball instincts. And I'm not trying to be mean. I really mean that. He just never had. He never looked like a basketball player to me, except he was tall. So I don't know. Milwaukee seemed to be desperate to make the move for a big man, because they were also in. There were a lot of rumors about DeAndre Jordan going to Milwaukee, but I guess this was the move that they made and to fill that need. Which is a curious one. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't see that as a winner, Dave, put it that way.
Yeah, that's going to be, seriously, I don't know what to do with that. Like you said, there are no winners in this trade. Unbelievable.
Well, it's like, you look at Brooklyn and you look at what they're doing, and they're just, all they do is collect assets, right? And so they got a second rounder out of that for Tyler Zeller. Those second round picks, they're like little, they're the scratch off lottery tickets, right? Odds are you're not going to get anything, but if you hit on one of those, man, you get a Draymond Green out of that. You're living right,
Yeah.
And, getting those in volume is never a bad thing. And then you can also, they're easy to stash. you don't have the same salary requirements as if you sign a first rounder. So there's quite a bit of value, and it seems like the smart teams like the Warriors, for example, are taking advantage of that. I mentioned Jordan Bell earlier. He's been in some ways the steal of the draft, just because, you know, again, another second rounder. So we'll see. I'm a fan of the Nets. I'm a fan of what they're building there. Like I said, if no one's going to cry because they don't have Tyler Zeller in Brooklyn anymore.
Well, I mean, it helps them with the salary cap, right? I think, even as much as Timothy Mozgov is taken up, losing Zeller helps them a little bit. So that'll be good. I think the Nets are going to be on the right track. I mean, presuming that they have some good off seasons down the road too. So we'll see on that. So,
yeah, I mean, the thing about the Nets, sorry to interrupt you. The thing about the Nets is like, this is like, in some ways, is the fun part, right? Like the expectations are low. They haven't had a first round or their own first round pick in a few years. And they've been very aggressive. I mean, they made some bold moves and they, you know, pulled in, you know, getting D'Angelo Russell and going for Jahlil Okafor, those kinds of things. You know, they're kind of bold moves that like a bad team can make. And they've been fun. They've had some moderately interesting results so far. I mean, they've won some games that probably weren't expected to win. But making that next step is going to be the real challenge, and that's where it's going to be fun to watch. It's like, how do you go from this where you're just collecting assets and seeing what sticks and turning Booker into Okafor and but the next step moving from a bad team to a good team is going to be hard. It'll be interesting to see what they do. I have confidence in Sean Marks, so I think he's a really smart guy, and I'm on board. I want to see what the Nets do. I'm excited about their future.
Absolutely. And so provided that they don't sign anybody to Buffalo dollars, I think they are on the right track as well. And I think it's, like you said, this is almost fun in a way. Like, you can see progress. You can see potential. You can see flexibility. You can see opportunity. And that's going to be the case for them for sure. I mean, they seem to be running things a little better than the Knicks right now. Although the Knicks have more actual all-star level players at this point. But I think that's right. I think that's right, yeah. But it could be coming soon for the Nets. So they've been playing so hard. They give every team a good game, except for one I remember. I think it was Milwaukee who just killed them, I think, over the weekend. But aside from that, they've been pretty solid. So that'll just about do it. We will recap the trades next week, and it should be very interesting. I'm sure there'll even be a guy that we didn't even think of who gets traded. You ever notice that? Like, some guy that just comes out of nowhere and gets traded. So what are you looking forward to most as we enter the weekend? As I think we're getting pretty close to the All-Star break, too. So your thoughts as we head towards the weekend?
Yeah, no, I agree. I love those unexpected trades. Last year when the Kings traded DeMarcus Cousins, and it was so crazy because the rumor came out during the All-Star game, and he was playing in the All-Star game, and he got traded during the All-Star game. He found out he was going to the Pelicans after the game. So it's that kind of drama. Like, you know, we're talking about Tyreke Evans, and everyone expects him to go, but those unexpected ones are that's what makes this time of year great.
Oh yeah. That should be fun. So enjoy the games, my friend, and we'll see you again next week and recap all the particulars and get back to it. So take care of yourself, and good to chat with you once again, Chris.
Same. Thanks so much, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. All right, take care. All right, that's Chris in Georgia, and away we do it for this week's NBA report. Glad you all were there with us. Hope you enjoyed it. For this and all sorts of podcasts that we've been doing over the last couple months, check them out at DidCow.com, or you can follow us at DidCow on Twitter, or check the DidCow podcast feed on your Apple Podcasts or other podcast player. I'm Dave Medina. Hope you've had a good time with it. Enjoy these NBA games and college basketball and other sports. We'll see you next time.